The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to them, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would long ago have repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And as for you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will go down to the netherworld. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. The passage that we have is the concluding part of Jesus' instructions to his disciples, to the 70 or the 72, as he sends them into the towns ahead of him, as he's making his way to Jerusalem. So this is your last chance, right? As it were, it's the last chance for the towns that had, you know, set themselves on some agenda or ambition other than that of God and his purposes. Jesus is calling them back to the way of peace. It's interesting that we see, even in that brief instruction by Jesus, you know, any number of, say, qualities, characteristics of the kingdom of God and its proclamation that really live down to this day. You know, we have peace, we have healing, you know, restoration, freedom. Yeah, and it's all caught up in the kingship of Christ. This is the kingdom that he is bringing to life, and he's bringing it to life in and through his faithful followers, right? And those who are set, who have set their hearts and their minds on following Jesus in all things and at all times, right? And there's a lot, of course, of trust that goes along with that. You see that in the passage. And there's a lot of following. I mean, that's the great scheme that we have in Luke's gospel as Jesus makes his way to Jerusalem. They're following him in faith. They're following him in obedience. That's ours too, right? And what it means is certainly as we commit ourselves to Jesus and following where he leads, we're also making that positive decision to be part of God's reordering of all things by his love, by his mercy. So again, what we do, and I said, to some extent, I want to say, you know, what we think and say and do in order to say this is the sum total of human action or activity. But I think it's much more than that, right? It's about lives. It's about every habit of our heart. It's about the various endeavors that we give ourselves to. Everything ought to be, inspired by love. And by that, I mean really two things, right? One is that the initiation of any human endeavor for us as Jesus's faithful followers ought to be love. It ought to be charity. Let's say radical generosity, right? It's in reflection of the goodness of God. So that ought to be the inspiration, but also then the goal, right? The end of the thing ought to be love. It ought to be charity. It ought to be generosity. So we, you know, in that schema, you can hear perhaps that, you know, we have been called into God's service, and we're called into his service to be a renewed people. And the renewal is charity. The renewal is to getting back to the roots, is what I mean by radical generosity. It's who we are. It's who we're made to be. So we're being renewed, and then we're bringing about the renewal of the world that simply doesn't run on charity, right? I mean, that's not the fuel in the tank, right? It's not charity, but it needs to be. And so we're that advance sign of what God intends to do at the end of the age. We are that people that in fact is anticipating the end of the age here and now, because inspired by charity, we can give ourselves to God and his purposes in all things and at all times.